Our next guest says Wisconsin needs some democratic healing. Democratic with a small D, not the party. He says we used to have policies in place that encouraged public involvement in civic affairs and social programs designed to create a level playing field for the people of Wisconsin. Today, though, he says corporations and the very wealthy have too much political influence at the expense of the state's voters. He came out with a list of calls to action. Some of those ideas: ending partisan redistricting, putting into place ranked choice voting, tightening campaign finance laws, and rooting out structural racism. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you feel about the state of elected government and democracy in Wisconsin? As a voter, do you feel like your voice is being heard, or do you feel like it's drowned out by a special interest, one or another, or the very wealthiest? Are there policies you'd like to see in place when it comes to things like redistricting or gerrymandering? And the list goes on. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Matt Rothschild is the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and author of the new book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob, thanks for having me back on. It's a real pleasure.
Before we get into some of your specific recommendations, how dire do you think that, do you see things being? Does democracy need saving in Wisconsin?
Well, actually, it's pretty dire. In fact, it's more dire than it was when I finished writing the book almost a year ago. And it's more dire because of this onslaught again and assault on our democracy that we've seen from some Republicans in leadership in Wisconsin over the last 10 months. The Gableman investigation, fishing expedition, inquisition, whatever you want to call it. The denialism, the blatant sheer denialism that Joe Biden is actually our legitimate president. We see that from Janelle Branjan, who is a state assembly rep and head of the state assembly committee on elections. She sent an email in December telling her constituents that Trump actually won the election. You have Representative Ramphin, who has put a bill forward in the legislature to have Wisconsin withdraw its Electoral College votes, now almost a year after the Electoral College made its decision. There's nothing in the U.S. Constitution to allow that. But this is just one bit of propaganda after another, one iteration of the big lie after another. And it's not only corrosive of our democracy, it's explosive of our democracy. And so that concerns me a lot, as does the anti-voter bills that were introduced, and as does the assault on our Wisconsin Elections Commission and our nonpartisan administration of our elections. So things are pretty dire.
Let's dive right into some of your recommendations. And one of them has been in the news a lot lately: how we draw our district lines, our political lines in Wisconsin. Why do you see this as important enough to be the first on your list?
Well, gerrymandering is a huge problem here in Wisconsin, and it gets to the problem of fair representation. We don't have fair representation in Wisconsin when the political party that's in power can rig the maps just by moving a line here or there on the district maps and not changing anybody's votes or anything, and ensure themselves a lock on power for 10 years. I mean, that's crazy. But that happened in 2011. In 2011, the Republicans had not just control of the state assembly and the state senate, but also control of the governorship. And they brought in a political scientist from Oklahoma, of all places, with some fancy software map drawing. And they were able to come up with a map that was ensuring themselves at least 60% of the seats in the assembly and the senate, essentially regardless of how the votes came down in one election after another. So that's pretty good gerrymandering if you can get away with it. And they got away with it. And even more disturbing, the Wisconsin Supreme Court just in the last month says it is going to use those rigged 2011 maps that a panel of federal judges said were unconstitutional. It's going to use those rigged 2011 maps as the basis for the new maps that it's going to sign off on in the next couple months. So we're going to be stuck with maps that were essentially rigged in 2011, that a panel of federal judges said were unconstitutional. In January 2016, this panel of federal judges said no one in Wisconsin should have to endure another election under such unconstitutional maps. And it looks like right now that we're going to be enduring these unconstitutional maps for another 10 years.
In your chapter on redistricting, you lay some blame on Democrats who, with the party control leading up to 2010, had the opportunity to change things. A bill was introduced to change things. They didn't do it. You're hoping this could fix things to prevent either side from taking advantage of a system like redistricting.
Yeah, Rob. I mean, this was a very disappointing story to learn. And I learned it because in 2009, let's remember, Democrats, it may be hard to believe, but Democrats controlled the state assembly, controlled the state Senate, and there was a Democrat in the governor's chair, Jim Doyle. And in 2009, there was a bill introduced by some progressive Democrats, Spencer Black among them, and there actually was a hearing on it to ban gerrymandering in Wisconsin and give us independent, nonpartisan redistricting like they've had in Iowa for 40 years. And it works great over there. It could work great here. But the leaders of the Democratic Party back in 2009 never brought it to a floor vote. Why didn't they bring it to a floor vote? Because political power is the most intoxicating drug on the market. And Democratic leaders thought, well, we got the power now. We'll have the power in 2010. We'll win again, and then we can rig the maps for ourselves. But lo and behold, look what that drunken political power did to them. It confused them terribly about who was going to win the 2010 elections. And let's remember who did win those elections. Scott Walker won the governorship, and Republicans swept the Democrats out of the state assembly and swept the Democrats out of the state Senate. And as soon as they had the power, the Republicans rigged the maps. Now, there still is a bill in the legislature right now that would ban gerrymandering in Wisconsin and give us essentially the Iowa model. But we can't even get that bill to a public hearing because Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the Republican leaders in the legislature, don't want that to happen. And so the public, though the public is overwhelmingly in favor of this, we don't get even a public hearing on it. I say the public's overwhelmingly in favor of it because there have been a couple polls from Marquette Law School showing two-thirds or more of the people in Wisconsin, including Republicans, want to ban gerrymandering in Wisconsin. And in 56 of our 72 counties, Rob, the people have voted either at county board resolutions or at countywide referendums by overwhelming margins that they want to ban gerrymandering. And this is just an example of how our democracy doesn't work. I mean, when, you know, two-thirds to three-quarters of the people of Wisconsin have said over and over they want something to happen and it doesn't happen, there's a problem.
Talking to Matt Rothschild about his new book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. Want to check out some of the other items on your list, Matt. Recusals for judges who have run for office and received campaign donations. Why do you see this as a problem? What's your solution?
Well, this is a real problem. And it came to the fore in the John Doe 2 investigation of Scott Walker for allegedly violating campaign finance law when he was coordinating with outside groups like Wisconsin Club for Growth and raising money through that group. And then that group was giving that money to Republicans in Wisconsin. There was a statute on the books at the time that said you can't do that. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court gave Scott Walker a get out of jail free card with a novel interpretation of the First Amendment. And a couple of the justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court were asked by the John Doe 2 prosecutor to recuse themselves from that case. But that means they have a conflict of interest. They should get off the case because of their conflict. What was their conflict of interest? Well, they had received more than or benefited from the expenditure of more than $1 million by two of the groups the John Doe 2 prosecutor was investigating, Wisconsin Club for Growth and Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. But rather than recuse themselves, the two justices stayed on the case and actually dismissed the John Doe 2 investigation and fired the John Doe 2 prosecutor. So that was a corrupt move. And also the Wisconsin Supreme Court has been asked by the League of Women Voters and asked by 54 retired judges, including a couple former Wisconsin Supreme Court justices, to tighten up their recusal rules, have a tight definition of when a judge or a justice should get off a case because there's a conflict of interest. They didn't accept the petition by the League of Women Voters or the petition by the 54 retired judges and justices. Instead, they took a verbatim rule written by lawyers for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and the Wisconsin Realtors Association that said it's just up to you guys. Essentially, there's no rule. It's up to the judge or the justice whether to get off a case or not if he or she thinks that he or she has a conflict. That's not a rule at all, really. And there's one other level of corruption in the judiciary right now. If I am a lawyer, I'm representing a client in circuit court, I can give the judge the judge's campaign $2,000, and neither that judge nor I needs to tell the lawyer on the other side of the case in front of the judge right now pending that I gave the judge $2,000. I mean, this is legalized bribery, and there's no transparency on the bribery either. So that's really corrupt. The solution is to pass a law to tighten judicial recusal rules. Representative Gary Hebel of Sun Prairie has been pushing this in one session after another, and we need to get it done. I think if your listeners understood just how open the invitation is for judicial corruption in Wisconsin, they'd be appalled.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Therese is with us in Green Bay. Therese, hi.
Hello. There's so many terrible things happening, including this last one and the others that your guest talked about. The issue is the people in power don't want to change things, and they build systems to allow things to favor them. And it's gotten so bad. There's a sense of hopelessness amongst those of us who want to change these things, and it's gotten so bad and egregious that our institutions weren't set up to handle this kind of battering. Yeah, that law he just talked about sounds good, but when you have a majority in the Assembly and Senate that aren't going to go for it, then you're stuck. And then you have an electorate on that particular end of things that's been told a lot of untruths about, the national election, et cetera, et cetera. We are at a crisis point where, I believe, what do we do? Those are good suggestions, but the people in power don't want to enact them. And finally,
Therese, I gotcha. Matt, we've got a break coming up, but Matt, that sense of hopelessness Therese has, I assume that's not the takeaway you want for your book.
No, I share Therese's anguish and her realization that is accurate, that we're at a crisis point for our democracy here in Wisconsin and nationwide for that matter. But I don't share her hopelessness. I'm happy to talk about that more after the break if you'd like. But there's a lot of great activism happening all across the state, which makes me less feeling hopeless.
Thanks for that call, Therese. We're talking to Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, about his new book, 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like voters, everyday people, have enough power in Wisconsin? Or do you feel like the wealthy, the corporations are running the show? Are there changes you'd like to see made in our political system, our judicial system? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're talking to Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. His new book is 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. Among the 12, ending partisan redistricting, reforming campaign finance, tightening judicial recusal rules, rooting out racism. You can join in with your thoughts on those topics and wider concerns you might have about our elected government in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Matt, we'd heard from Therese a few moments ago. A couple other callers have called in with similar concerns, feeling like there's not much they can do. If people agree with you on some or all of these solutions, what do you suggest they do to get involved?
Well, people should join pro-democracy organizations. One of the great things about being in Wisconsin is there are so many tremendous progressive nonprofits in this state, pro-democracy nonprofits. League of Women Voters of Wisconsin is a tremendous group. So is Common Cause, Wisconsin Conservation Voters, Bloc, Voces de la Frontera, There's just tremendous groups all across the board. Find the issue that concerns you the most. Join an organization that works on that issue. Join it with a friend of yours, because it's easier if you do this work with friends in organizations. Because if we do it in isolation, it's too big of a mountain to climb, and we'll get discouraged and we'll give up. And that's not good for us. That's not good for the pro-democracy movement. I mean, let's face it, though. We are facing a militant, aggressive anti-democracy movement in this state and in this country, the likes of which we haven't seen since 20,000 pro-Nazis gathered in Madison Square Garden under Nazi flags back in 1939. And what we need to do is lift up the voices of courageous Republicans who are speaking truth about this threat. And I'm talking about Liz Cheney. Thank you, Liz Cheney. And Adam Kinzinger. Thank you, Adam Kinzinger. And here in Wisconsin, State Senator Kathy Bernier, who is chair of the Senate Elections Committee, has done a very brave thing, and she should be praised to the heavens for it, because she is calling this out as a charade. And she has expressed her deep concern that we may be losing our republic right now to the right wingers. That was very brave of her. Second, we need to create a united front against this anti-democracy movement and rally everybody on our side to face it together. And then, and I think this is really important, Rob, we need to engage a few folks in our wide social circles here in Wisconsin who may have been tempted by some of the cultish propaganda. And we need to try to listen to them first, connect with them in some non-political way, engage in conversation with them, and then try to nudge them back from the abyss. You know, every other person in Wisconsin who voted last time voted for Trump, and a large percentage of the Republican Party still believes that Trump is the legitimate president or the election was stolen from him. But a chunk of those folks don't believe that, and they need to be engaged in conversation with, and even some who may actually believe it. If we can try to peel off a few of those people and bring them back to reality, even though they're being fed this propaganda on an IV drip 24/7 from Fox News and social media, I think that is a real service we need to do. We can't write off half the people in the state of Wisconsin.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Don is with us in Door County. Don, hello.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you, Matt, for all the hard work you do. I have insight into Representative Joel Kitchens and Senator Cole's support for Senate Bill 250, which is ranked choice voting, but only for Wisconsin federal elections. I have audio, and when I called into the local radio station on Tuesday, and Representative Kitchens said they're looking for a way to diffuse partisan support in some of the more heavily partisan districts in the state. So I think their support of ranked choice voting, which they said should be implemented, I suggested they do it for the whole state, for all our elections. But anyway, so there's a little insight for two Wisconsin representatives supporting Senate Bill 250 for partial ranked choice voting in the state of Wisconsin. Thank you. I'll listen in.
Don, thanks for the call. Matt, ranked choice voting is one of your recommendations. Why?
Yeah, I'm in favor of it, primarily because it would get rid of the spoiler effect. I mean, ranked choice voting is when, rather than just voting for one person, you rank the candidates in favor of your first choice, second choice, and third choice. So, for instance, in the Ralph Nader campaign in 2000, you could have voted for Ralph Nader number one and Al Gore number two. And then when it turned out that Ralph Nader came in, didn't come in close on ranked choice voting, when your first choice is coming in last or near last, your vote, your first place vote gets canceled, and then your second place vote becomes your first place vote. So those Nader votes would have then gone to Gore, and Gore would have been president of the United States. And it would be neat in like crowded Democratic fields, like remember the last primary when Governor Evers was running with 10 other candidates, including Mayor Paul Soglin and some other good candidates. I mean, you could add ranked choice voting there, and you could have said, I want Soglin number one, and I want Evers number two, or Mike McCabe number three. And then the candidate who wasn't doing the best, if that was your number one, then you get some choice, some say into who the actual winner is. So I think it is a good way to end the spoiler effect. And it also may diffuse some of the hyper-partisanship that comes out of the two-party system. And that wouldn't be a bad thing either.
Time for one more caller. Mike is with us in Madison. Mike, hi.
Hi. One of the things I've been telling my kids for about 10 years now is the most difficulty they're going to have in their future is determining fact from fiction, that we have the capability with the technology to fake any video. We could have put Trump on his face on one of the January 6th attackers, and it would have looked so real that it would have circulated around the world in within an hour, and people would have thought Trump was right there. So I think
we have just a few moments left. And Matt, that reminds me, local journalism as part of the effort to sift and winnow fact from fiction. That is one of your concerns.
Yes, it is. And I think Mike makes a good point, because people are living in two different media universes. You know, right wingers can just be in their own media ecosystem. Left wingers can be in their own. And that's not healthier for democracy either. I think people need to read around and get outside of their media cocoons. But I also think we really need to support local media here in Wisconsin. There are many towns and cities and even counties that are newspaper deserts that don't have any local newspaper anymore. So it's really hard for the citizens of those towns, cities, and counties to know what's happening locally, and also to get a set of facts, local facts, that they can use to examine what they're being fed on the internet or on TV and see whether the two things collide or not. And maybe if they got a better sense of the news locally, they'd be better able to distinguish fact from fiction. And that's a crucial thing we've got to be able to do.
Thanks for that call. And Matt, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Rob, my pleasure. Happy holidays.
To you too. That's Matt Rothschild, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We talked to him about his new book. It's called 12 Ways to Save Democracy in Wisconsin. You can keep sharing your thoughts. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR.